bright light. Said he gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women.
It's gonna take a long time for us to get to the point on this, I think. Well, hold on, here we go.
There it is.
I think it's coming.
Devil with love is spare, so Viva Las Vegas.
There it is.
Viva Las Vegas.
Las Vegas about to get an NHL franchise if they can come up with $500 million. And how tough is that in Vegas? They make that
Not
in about 15
all.
Minutes. Eddie Olczyk is joining us, Chicago Hawk, NHL great, NHL mm-hmm. Hall of Famer, great broadcaster, legend in the hockey industry.
An all-around great guy.
Yes, and not to mention also in the horse racing industry. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this, Eddie? You like the idea of this expansion?
We love it.
More fans.
Thank
the
you
game,
very much.
More...
Thanks. Thanks for stopping by, Eddie. Good talking to you. And again,
wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Olczyk, Hockey Hall of Famer.
Roana, nice to be with you. It's nice to be starting, I guess, some sort of a vacation after the long hockey season. So, you know, look, when you look at expansion, when you look at the possibility of relocation, Ro, what other options do we have in the U.S. and in Canada? And there aren't a lot of options. And look, there's been a lot of talk about professional sports going to Las Vegas, who would be the first team. And it certainly looks like that the National Hockey League, and I tip my hockey helmet to them, to get that opportunity to go there and make it work. And that to me, it will be a great challenge. I believe it will fly in Las Vegas. And
travel.
We'll see. Look at there's no question that there will be a road trip.
Yeah,
for sure. For probably 10,000 Blackhawk fans
going from Chicago
to Las Vegas to try to get tickets when the Hawks are in Vegas or what other teams might be there.
It's a great location.
I think it's going to be great.
Right in the middle of the Strip. It's a beautiful. I've been there.
Is that
it's
what
brand
it is?
New. Yeah. Just opened in April,
mm-hmm. and they've been building it for. I've been watching them build it for the last couple of years there, mm-hmm. and it's fairly easy. Not that anything's easy to get to on the Strip. Let's be honest, because it's kind of mess the way they've done it. But it is. It's very easy, easily located. So you're always going to get there from if you're staying on the Strip mm-hmm. in a hotel or a casino. It's going to be something. Now let me ask you this though, with a team coming in, and one would believe that ostensibly this would be a team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that it's possible that the Hawks could be moved into the East?
That's a good question, but I can't see that happening. But that's just, that's just me, looking at it from where the Blackhawks have been pretty much, forever. But that is interesting. I'm not really thinking about what might end up happening as far as realignment, and you're going to be a little short on the Eastern Conference. So
I mean, it is interesting. It's an interesting conundrum because the Hawks no longer get to play, at least the way they're scheduling now, original six teams more than a home and home.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing to especially longtime Hawks fans who love to see Detroit. They love to see the Rangers. They love to see the Canadiens.
Yeah.
Or the Flyers or the Bruins. And when you get that kind of an opportunity here, you do wonder if that's something that is in their calculation.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that the league is probably two and three steps ahead of everybody else, Ro. So, there are teams, obviously, that have had some issues, in their own particular market. So, could there be an opportunity that, saying a team that, a team like Arizona it doesn't seem, I don't know how concrete that they are being where they are in Glendale. I mean, could they get the opportunity to maybe move, into the, Scottsdale area or somewhere in there? So that is very intriguing because when you do add a team, all of a sudden it's, there's a few more teams in the West than there is in the East. But relocation certainly,
It's going to be interesting to see.
Big part of it, yeah.
Eddie, the bid showed that they've already secured, the Las Vegas bid said that they've already secured 13,000 season ticket deposits. And when the T-Mobile Arena is situated for hockey, it only has 17,000 seats. That is seems huge to me that they'd already be able to secure that number.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the process, Anna, of getting in line and showing that you do have the support. And, you know, the same thing kind of happened when Atlanta went to Winnipeg, where you had to have the, you know, the season ticket base in place to, you know, present to the National Hockey League and the Board of Governors. And it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, Las Vegas had a minor league hockey team there for a long, long time, and they drew extremely well for a long stretch. Now you get the best league in the world going in there and the best hockey players possibly, and you got a lot of people that have roots to, you know, the Snowbirds that just decided to stay down in Las Vegas. So they have roots and understand the game and are fans of the game. And it's another, you know, it's a tough market. I mean, it's the greatest entertainment capital there is in the world, in my opinion. And you're going to have your work cut out for you, but you do have a lot of people there that do have roots to hockey cities, and teams will travel well. I mean, we know the Blackhawks,
fans,
as I said earlier. I mean, they're going to travel in, so I don't think selling tickets in Las Vegas to your favorite hockey team, whether it's a team in Vegas or it's a team that's coming in as a visitor, you're going to have a lot of fans that are going to be making a road trip, and I'm certainly that's part of the marketing, I'm sure, for you know, the team in Vegas.
I wouldn't be surprised, too, if the league schedulers, because this couldn't happen any earlier than the 2017-18 season, that the league schedulers start to talk about making it a little bit more of intertwining the East and the West a little bit here, because wouldn't New York like to have, whether it's the Rangers or the Islanders, right, or the Devils, that market, wouldn't you like to have them be able to come in a number of times a year? Wouldn't you like to see the people from Boston or from Montreal?
I don't think that's changing, Ro. I don't think that's changing. I think the league likes the way that it is. You're going to play each team one time in your old building. Sometimes you're going to get the odd number of games in over the course of the year, but you're going to get everybody in your building at least one time. You're going to travel. So I don't see that happen. I understand what you're saying. The only way you can do that is if you get up to 31 or 32 teams or whatever it is, and you want to stay with the 82 games, well, then you're going to play some teams four times, you're going to play some teams three, and then you alternate each year when you get two coming in, and then you go there the following year. So
sort of like
you're
going to
get every team, which is great, but I really don't see that happening with the way that the schedule is, and I think the league's pretty happy with it.
Hey, I just on a personal note, you got to be fairly happy about Pittsburgh, a team that you also have a very nice association with. Winning the Stanley Cup, it's great for Pittsburgh. It's great. I was very happy to see that team win.
Well, they came from being outside the playoffs and looking like a team that they had almost three of the four wheels off their mobile. You know, they got them back on, and they made a few changes. They changed the coach. They made a couple of trades. They brought in some young guys, and they played faster than anybody else in these playoffs. And they really possessed the puck extremely well. And I'm happy for a lot of people that I do know there, both professionally and personally. And, you know, it's their second cup in the last, I guess, in the Sidney Crosby era, the third time they've been in the final. Mm-hmm. And they were the better team, without a doubt. They were the better team of the Sharks. And if you watch the series at all, you're probably amazed at how that it even went six games roll, because Martin Jones, a goalie for the Sharks, was just incredible in that series. And, you know, so they were able to win it on the road. And the city of Pittsburgh still waiting for their first celebration of a championship in their own city since 1960, when the Pirates did what they did, and the Penguins had a chance to do it the other night in Game 5, and they did it. So they'll have to wait to enjoy that moment as the Blackhawks did.
Let's just hope it's not the Pirates this year. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Hey, Eddie, it's Kevin. With the Stanley Cup over, this is when we begin to see roster moves taking shape. We've got the draft coming up in a week or so, and free agency opens up July 1st. What are you expecting to see from the Blackhawks, who are once again up against the salary cap?
Well, look, I mean, you're going to have to stick handle. You're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to figure out what guys' contracts are up that you want to bring back. Some guys have, you know, some guys are free agents. Some guys are restricted free agents. Some guys have arbitration. So all that, you know, gets, I'm sure it's all been mapped out for the Blackhawks in the front office for a long, long time. And with the leadership of John McDonough and Jay Blanc all the way through, I'm sure that there's a plan. But you got to be quick on your feet because things change. And yeah, you're right. You got some cap issues. Teams know that. They can certainly use that to their advantage to get leverage on you. And we'll have to wait and see what happens. I would have to think, you just mentioned draft, Kevin, I would have to imagine that one of the priorities would be, and again, this is just my opinion, if somebody would ask, I would certainly share it with them, and you did. The Blackhawks have to build up their back end. They have to look at building up their defensive youth and look at guys like that. Because it's a little bare, and they're going to need some help here moving down the road. And, you know, you can make trades, you can acquire players, but as we've seen with this franchise, the best way to build a winner, and obviously the Cubs are doing that, but is to build through the draft. And Mark Kelly, the terrific director of amateur scouting for the Blackhawks, has done an incredible job here. And one little anecdote on Mark Kelly, he was very instrumental in Pittsburgh. We were there together, and Mark was the guy that kind of helped build the Penguins back in, the time of 04 to 07, 08. And you look at what they've been able to do. So Mark is the best at what he does. I think the Blackhawks certainly know that. But for me, for the draft, it's imperative that they build up the back end and get some young defensemen.
You know what I like to say, Eddie? With Stan, we can. I have absolute, complete trust in what Stan Bowman can do.
Seriously.
to find talent, to make those deals occur, you know, to rely on his scouts, to find the talent, to make those deals happen, and to balance the budget somehow, some way, because they do it every year. It was a disappointing and early exit, especially after that really hot run that the Hawks had late in last year into the beginning of this year. And you know, I don't think that this is an organization that wants to see that happen again. They don't seem to tolerate failure particularly well,
and that's a great look at that. That's a great thing. Again, I talked to the leadership under Rocky Wirtz and John and Jay, and you know, mentioned Stan, and you got Joel, and that is the philosophy. And it does become a little bit more. You have to be a little bit more creative because of the salary cap. But look, they're in that spot. They've handed out contracts, and guys have earned those contracts with Taves and Kane. And you got two guys eating up, almost 25 or close to 30% of your salary cap, it makes it difficult. And you know, you got Brent Seabrook's contract kicking in now. So, I mean, all those things come into it. And look, we haven't even talked about Artemi Panarin, and his contract's up after next year. So, you know, it doesn't stop. So you have to be able to manage it. You got to make hard decisions. This team has done it in the past. It will continue to be there, but that's the price of poker when you've been a successful team and you got really good players. But tough decisions have to be made, and I think the terrific Blackhawk fan base certainly understands what's going on a daily basis over at the United Center.
All right, very quickly, who's the best three-year-old horse in the country?
Oh, man. Can it be Songbird, the filly?
I'll take it. I'll take that answer.
Was Songbird involved in the Belmont?
No.
No,
you're talking about for next year.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, who's the best horse? Who's the best three-year-old in the country
right now?
Songbird.
She could be.
She won the Oaks. She won. She's the. It's going to be a very interesting summer for the big races, and then the Breeders' Cup is going to be spectacular this year, I think, because there's such incredible talent out there. It was fun, even though there wasn't a Triple Crown winner. All those races were fun to watch, and the Belmont's the best Belmont I have ever
seen.
Very
competitive, and that's what we want. And but that's a great question. Like, you can make an army. Nyquist, he's only got one blemish on his resume. But Songbird could be. I mean, Songbird, you know, the two best horses maybe in training could be on the filly and mare side when you talk about Songbird and Beholder. So the Breeders' Cup Classic is at the end of October, early November, and it's got a chance to be one of the best races we've had in a very, very long time. So I'm going to go with the ladies here on and say that Songbird and Beholder.
There you go.
Are the two best horses in training right now.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Eddie.
It, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Olchek.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Keep up the great work.
Thank
Bye.
You. The great Eddie Olchek right there. Mm-hmm. Happy to be home. Happy to
I bet.
Take a little time off.
Take a breather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A busy man for the past, what, half a year, really?
More than that. Nine months. And then they make him, then NBC makes him do the horse racing on top of it.
Right.
I'm sure he loves it, doesn't he? He's going to be so good at it.
Yeah, it makes him. Right. Because you know what? I love it. We sit here in air conditioned studios.
I know.
They fly us first class places. They go, oh, yeah, they're making us do it.
Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, man.
What are we going to do now?
It's a tough life.
Yeah. Tough life. All right, Violetta, is there an in her air-conditioned studio right now at the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. What you got?